Blog Talk Radio.
You love me, you hate me, you'll never forget me. Get ready to feel the...
So high five.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to YRG Radio tonight. We have a very special guest on, and right now I'm tweeting as I speak. My dyslexic self, I promise it will be inspiring. I have to make sure I got that right. Inspiring. So I'm putting out that tweet out there to let people know that we are going to have Mr. Mark Merrow on here, along with Team YRG's own Henry Dempsey. You have to say it right, Henry.
That's right. You got it.
Okay, cool. Very good. I do want to talk about some of the things that happened this week. I had a great road trip this past week, where I went from L.A. to Milwaukee and hooked up with one of my YRG buddies, Al. And we also did some radio and TV up there. And then driving down to Chicago, our boy Rez from Team YRG picked me up and showed me into Chi-Town, where I did Between the Ropes with Frank. I don't know Frankie's last name, but him and Tony are both members of Team YRG right now, and this radio show Frankie does every night. It's a little sports radio show that they do in Chicago. It's I want to say it's chicagoradio.com. I'm not exactly sure on that. I should know that if I'm going to talk about what we're going to do. But we had a great show, and then we went over to L.A. Boxing, and we did a hell of a YRG workout. And when we were talking, Frankie said, it's at 5:30. I'm like, oh, great, get out a little bit earlier. And I forgot that I put out an email to everybody that the workout was at 6:30. And as soon as we finished a kick-ass workout, which Frankie and Tony were modifying every one of the positions and what was sweating their ass off, I get done. Everybody's like, man, that was a great workout. There was about 30 of us there. And then about three people walked up to me, especially Tony and Michelle from Fit Radio, who are right there in Chicago. They drove an hour and 40 minutes in to do the workout with us. And they were like, Tony and Michelle. I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, totally, you know, my mind was erased. I was like, oh, God, I can't believe it. I started early. I forgot. I told everybody 6:30. Total brain fart. And they were so cool. They were like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm like, you just drove an hour and 40 minutes. Of course we're going to do the workout again. So we got about Rez did it with us again. And we went for round two, and we did about 45 minutes and kicked ass. With next morning, I was on their show at 5 a.m., but it was actually taped, thank God, for Saturday morning. And that's like the number one a.m. station show that they have there, their 5 a.m. fitness show that they do. And that's Tony and Michelle, if you're in the Chicago area. And then I flew to with Angela, who came in. We did a Comic-Con there, which was amazing. Nash was there. Cactus Jack McFoley, who was also doing YRG now, by the way. And I'm actually helping him as his self-help guru for real to get him in shape for that match he's going to have with Flair in October. And got him slowly stepping into the world of YRG, which is pretty amazing. Because if there's one cat that I didn't think would actually do it ever, it would be him. And also a couple other of the boys that I just sent it to, because they actually, what I do when I talk to some of the boys, I was at SummerSlam, you know, I'll be talking, of course, YRG comes up, what great shape I'm in, and I say, listen, if you guys ever want it, whoever I'm talking to, you know, you send me an email, I'll text you, give me your number. If you send me your address, I'll send it to you. So bottom line is Bret Hart actually sent me his address, and Steven Regal, and Adam. Adam Edge. So all those boys are, giving it a shot right now, which would be great for their bodies. And after I got done with the Chicago, which I met about six different people, Ethan came in, and Rob came in, and John, my Rich Wilkerson and his son Brett came in. So it was really great. I'm going to be actually coming back to Chicago to do an autograph signing with Goldberg, which I'm pretty excited about. I haven't seen Goldie in a while. So we're going to do an autograph signing in Chicago, and I'm going to put together a YRG workout for all my people who are in that area to figure out where to do it, and then also bring in anybody who wants to give it a shot. No cost to anybody. Just come on and give it a shot. So that's going to be in Chicago on the 16th of October. So that'll be coming up. So from there, I went down to St. Louis to see my buddy Wally Pankowski, who's actually the father of my partner, who actually put this whole YRG fitness system together with me. Eric, his dad Wally, took us over to Fitness Edge, which is a great personal trainer's gym that they had there. And his instructors wanted to give the workout a shot, and we did a killer workout there. And Wally's 61. Wally is in amazing shape, and he had turned his entire workout regimen completely to YRG, and he actually went and lifted some weights not that long ago. He's starting to feel the aches and pains again. He's like, what the hell am I doing this for? He told me. He finished up his workout, left, and he's back to just doing YRG, which I find amusing. At 61, really, that's the only workout you should be doing. And then we did it was my buddy Steve Church, who was back in the WCW days, and he drove me all around St. Louis. It was great hanging with him. And we went to Wally's cigar shop called JR Cigars. And there was a couple of winners. We raffled off some YRG fitness systems and did a signing there. And it was whenever I'm doing any kind of signing, you can bet at some point the Arthur video is coming up, the pictures before and after of Arthur and Stacy and Terry and Angie and Dylan, whoever I throw together and whatever. It's all just like I'm doing right now, just ad-libbing and feeling the people out and as people come in and who's interested and who's not. But everybody's pretty captivated, as you can imagine, by the Arthur video. And that pulls them in, which is cool. So I left St. Louis, went to Kansas City, did again morning radio and TV, and on the Johnny Dare show, and that's like the number one rock and roll show in all of St. Louis. And then I went over and did his birthday party that night, and these guys, Steel Panther, played. They were off the charts. They were like, they do play their own stuff and they play cover stuff, and they're total hair band rock, and they really played up. They're a show band. They're amazing. If you ever get a chance to see Steel Panther, I would recommend it. And then I went over to the Angels Rock Bar in KC with my boy Rich in KC, who really is the guy who started this whole journey on the internet for me. Rich, I met him online. Actually, Kim was talking to him. I wrote like a three-year-old, so we talked on the phone at the time, and we became buddies. And then he came out to Halloween Havoc in 95, and that's where we met, hooked up, took him out to do Kyle Petty's School of Racing, and we were driving. Here's the first time this guy's hanging with DDP, and we're driving 150 miles an hour. My cat wants to get in here. Come on in, Cosmo. We're driving 150 miles an hour around the track, and that was his introduction to hanging out with me. And then I brought him down to the following day down backstage, and he got to take pictures of everybody and with everybody, and he ended up writing a story. You didn't even know, babe. Boy, babe. I ended up writing. I was Angela just popping in and say hello. She loves Mark. She's making gluten-free banana cupcakes for my trip, and she's making the best gluten-free chicken pot pie you've ever had in your life. They're amazing. All right, so back to where I was at. So from there, we took all the pictures with different guys, and he went back and wrote a story about the time hanging with me and Kim and being backstage and just being in the whole, the spectacle of it all. And we got like 12,000 hits on the internet. I was like, holy God, 12,000 people read this thing? So I said, let's add some more stuff. Let's add some more stuff. Before you know it, we had ddpbang.com, which would eventually become diamonddallaspage.com, which eventually would become all that has this, you know, it's really crazy what we started and brought in a guy named Brian Bentley to help us put it all together. It was an amazing journey. And then, you know, Robert came on here and just took it all to a different level. So it's, you know, where we are today and what we're going to do today with the show, I'm really excited about. Before I get there, I got to tell you one other YRG story. I'm sitting in the airport coming back from a 9-day loop, and I get a text saying, you're on Candid Camera. And I write back, who's camera? And a buddy of mine named Juan, who's a YRG guy, and I met him by doing YRG at Gold's Gym years ago. And he goes, look, I just got back from Vegas, and I had the program with me. And like, it all 10 DVDs with him. And while we're talking, a woman walks up to me, and she goes, God, are you Dallas Page? And I said, yes. She goes, I thought it was you. I was looking at you going, why do I know that face? And then I saw your tattoos. And, God, I know those tattoos. Who is that guy? And then I recognized the new YRG fitness T-shirt. She recognized. She goes, I do your program. I go, get out of here. She goes, yes, I swear, I can't believe I'm meeting you. She goes, I'm from Ohio. I'm on my way to Australia. She goes, I go, were you a wrestler? I said, are you a wrestling fan? She goes, no, I'm sorry, I wasn't a wrestling fan. I go, no, I love that. You know, that she came across it from the infomercial, which was, you know, a great feeling. And I look for her to be on D-March. I can't remember her name like an idiot. I didn't write it down. So that's my journey that I just had. I'll fill you in on where I'm going next, which will just be Baltimore for the Horrifying this weekend. And then I'm going up to see my mom in Jersey, and and then I'm going down to a wrestling show in Fort Myers, Florida, where Booker T and Billy Gunn and Jesse James are on the card, and I'm not wrestling, but I am going to be going down there and do meet and greet and sign some autographs and talk some smack, so it should be fun. So that's what's coming up, but let's talk about now. I am so excited to have my buddy on the show. First, I want to welcome Henry Dembski to the show. How are you today, buddy?
Doing excellent.
I want to share with everybody who didn't catch Henry's blog that his dream of buying the racehorse that ended up – what happened to the first racehorse, the short version?
Well, you know, last time I was on, we were talking about life at 90 and pursuing goals and dreams, and mine was to, you know, be part owner of a racehorse and watch it win. And last time I was on the show, I was telling you how the first horse I had, basically I waited 2 years, was paying through the nose, the horse had tremendous physical problems and ended up not racing, and it kind of shattered my dreams. I went to a bad place for a short time, and now I'm, you know, the second horse. In the meantime, I almost kind of forgot about him because I was sort of preoccupied with the first horse. That you know, all of a sudden he started having problems, but then he straightened out, and he had his first race at the Meadowlands and got absolutely trounced because he was racing against some of the best two-year-olds in the country. And again, I was discouraged and, you know, persistence, and, you know, I never gave up and kept plugging away. And he's on a two-race win streak, and he will be racing at Freehold Raceway in New Jersey on Saturday in a $10,000 stakes race, and he's 7-2 morning line. So you better line up and put your bets in because maybe.
I love it. And I also have Henry on the show because our guest today is from Buffalo. He's a Buffalo boy. I believe it's 3- or 4-time Golden Glover at the New York area as far as being an amazing boxer, amazing athlete. And I want to bring him on right away. I want to welcome to the show, and we'll just have some fun talking. Mark, thank you so much for showing up on YRG Radio, bro.
Oh, brother, it's I'm such a pleasure to be on your show today, man. It's just awesome.
So Marky, give us a little bit of backstory, because I don't want to tell your story. I want you to tell it. Tell us how you got into boxing, how you got into wrestling. You know, how did it all come about?
Oh, DDP, you know, the boxing all started when I was in high school. At the gymnasium, they always had the posters of, like, upcoming events and so on, and I was in front of the posters with a bunch of my friends. And my buddy says, we should go watch that, Mark. And I go, watch it? I'm going to enter that. that feeling, that aha moment. You ever see something where you go, and you've been here, Dallas, where you go, I can do that, man. The difference between saying it and doing it are two different things. It's about taking action towards your goals. And I went out and started training. I went down to the local boxing gym where I met my longtime mentor, Ray Rinaldi, who you've met and you know, Ray.
Yep.
And I actually won the New York State Golden Gloves my first time out. I ended up winning four state titles in New York, including the Golden Gloves, the gold medal in the Empire State Games, and the AAU. And then I became a member of the USA boxing team. So boxing was, it was, you know, one of my favorite sports, and I loved it back then.
Oh, man, what a great story. So I'm just going to go out and do it, and just having that raw grit.
Getting into wrestling, and there's only one person probably could identify with this more than me, and that's you. Is I never even signed my contract with WCW until I was 31 years old.
Yeah,
which is a late start. I think you started at 35, wasn't it?
Yep, 35. Yep,
35. You know, and I remember that too because I was sitting in front of my television set when I was 30 years old. With five of my buddies in my apartment, and I got that aha moment. Wrestling was on. We were flipping through the channels, and I said, hey, guys, I could do this. And they all laughed. They said, those guys are so big. They'll pick you up over your head and throw you right out of that ring. I said, no, I can do it. I just said about a goal I wanted to accomplish to take action towards it. I went out and found out where a wrestling school was. 1 year later, I was with WCW Wrestling, and I eventually became WCW Pro Wrestling Illustrated Rookie of the Year, which you also did too. And so, accomplishing two sports and becoming very successful with by just saying, man, I can do that, because we all have those moments in our life where we see something and we say, I can do that, but how many people take action towards those feelings?
Well, I'll tell you, I want to interject here because a lot of people think, well, God, he just said I'll do it, and he did it, but it was a journey. I can remember you were digging ditches at the time.
I was. You know, Dallas, I was making 17 grand a year digging swimming pools, and at 30 years old, you look at, how did I ever end up here? How did it, when I was a young boy, I wrote down all my dreams and goals about being a professional athlete, winning Rookie of the Year. I wrote that down when I was 10 years old. And all these goals about becoming rich and famous and becoming a millionaire, and all these things you write down, all of a sudden you end up in a hole in the ground digging swimming pools, and it seems like the life and the dreams are gone. But all of a sudden, sometimes in life, sometimes we get a second chance, and I took advantage of that second chance by going out and taking action towards my goals.
Now, let me share some of the backstory. I was in the room the night, because Dusty Rhodes was the booker then. And sometimes you'll hear me just call them the bookers because I don't want to name names. But when I do want to name names, I will name names. And Dusty Rhodes was my mentor, worked with him in Florida Championship Wrestling. He brought me into WCW as a manager. And T.A. Magnum, who was what would have been a monster force in the late 80s and 90s, except for he had a paralyzing, he was actually a quad at one time, injury in his Ferrari. They said he'd never walk again, but I'll be damned if, eventually T.A. got some feeling back, and he actually got his right side working pretty damn good, but his left side just never came back, and he sort of drags that leg, but he's such a damn warrior. And he was Dusty's right-hand man. And I remember talking to Dream about something and hearing T.A. saying, Dream, take a look at this kid. Take a look at this kid. He goes, who's he look like? And Dusty goes, Little Richard. And he goes, Dan, if you don't look at him, move. Damn, he's got something there. Next thing I know, you were in the office with him and you were getting a deal. It was
It was absolutely amazing how my life changed by that one person who believed in me. My whole life changed, and to this day I always thank Dusty for giving me the opportunity to make, because remember, I was one of those guys that was getting paid $150 to get beat up on TV.
That's how you started.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden one day I was offered a contract, and the rest is history, man.
So then, you know, when you say Dusty, without Dusty Rhodes, there is no Diamond Dallas Page, too. And I always got to give that man props because he helped create a lot of different things for me. But Mark got the opportunity. So, and I believe back then it was like $75,000 a year. That, you know, that was
it. Yeah, the first contract we signed, it was a $75,000 a year contract, but the next year it doubles to $150,000. So
if you made
like
it.
Yes.
If you made it. So let me tell you guys. Now, Mark and I are really tight because I'm not even wrestling yet. I'm just doing the managing thing still. And I see him go over his house, and he's putting, like, he buys all these elaborate costumes and stuff, a lot like the Macho Man did, you know? I'm like, dude, $75,000 sounds like a lot of money to regular people, but when you add in all of our travel, you know, except for airfare, our cars, our gas, our food, what it cost you to make those outfits and stuff. And I remember saying to you, dude, you're not saving any money, man. You're just putting everything into it. What did you say to me? You remember?
I said, well, man, if I can remember correctly, I said, man, if you're ever going to make it, you got to put money back into it to really give it everything you got.
And he said, I'm all in. And I was like, wow, that was very impressive to me at the time. You know, because we were just starting our relationship, and it was really impressive.
Well, DDP, you and I go back from the beginning. I mean, we both started from nothing, having no money, you know, scraping by. I remember one time, and we both been where we borrowed money from each other.
Yeah, right.
It was a tough time in our lives, but we had a dream, and then we both became very successful because, you know, I often say there's not many people that could, you know, there's people that could have better gimmicks than me, there are better workers than me, but there's not a lot of people that outworked me. And you come from the same mold. You know, we just work so hard going down to the power plant to learn, you know, to practice our moves. And people would laugh at us because we would go over things over and over and over. And it was kind of like a running joke, you know, about things that, because we just tried so hard. We weren't the best workers or the best interviewers or you know, but it's just like we kept working and working. And I remember when I was at the WWE after I left WCW, when you started your run, and when I saw you win the world title for the first time, it was like my heart and all the memories and all the things that we've been through to watch you at the top echelon, the highest you can go in our business. You were there, and for the first time, all the people that laughed at you, all the people that mocked you, all the people that never believed in you were going, oh, my gosh, this is our world champion. And then you have to go out and do it three or four times. I don't know.
You know, but, you know, getting to that road, and I want to talk about our experience together is actually wrestling together. And we come up with this whole angle because no one was writing my stuff. They didn't care about me, you know. And they sort of cared about Mark, but not enough to really, you know, care to write some real stuff. So Mark and I started writing our own, like, storylines. You know, how, you know, I'd won the $13 million after, you know, I had all the money, and then, you know, I believe I lost the money, and I lost Kim, and then I lost something. But the storyline of the matches, before, they wouldn't put our stuff on the Nitro. Nitro had started, and we got a little tease here and there, but they weren't going to put our angle on Nitro. They put us on Saturday night, which is a 6:05 show. So in the beginning, Mark and I, because if we weren't on the road, we'd go down the power plant and we'd work out our match. It's sort of like preparation with improvisation. Spots were choreographed. Other spots were just ad-libbed, and you just went with what, you know, how the feeling was. But you had to work together, you know, over and over again to have, be really comfortable with that ad-libbing stuff. So Mark and I got down there, and the bookers, notice I'm not using a name here, the bookers were telling Mark one thing and then saying, I said another. And Mark called me up and he goes, Dallas, he goes, I just want you to know, and he didn't, like, wasn't judging. And this is why I always say, what else could this mean? Because you never really know what the story is till you really ask the person. So before you get hot or pissed off or, you know, think that person doesn't care about you, better just to pick up the phone and talk to them or go see them face to face. And Mark was at the office. Do you remember that day, bro? Remember that thing? And he called me up and he goes, listen, now they're saying blah, blah, blah. And I said, that's a bunch of bullshit. I said, come on down here. We'll talk about it. So he came down there. And this is the night where they were doing TV. So we go right from there, from working out together, right to TV, and we confronted one of the boogers. And it was like, for you to know who that booger was, I'm tight with him now, so I don't want to cause any heat. But at the time, it was like, you're really going to challenge this guy? And I remember Mark looking at me like, oh, wow, this is great. And we just said, did you say blah, blah, blah? And what did that booker say?
Oh, I never said that. I never said that.
Right.
I was sitting there going, well, yes, you did. But you know what, Dale? I think that the thing that came out of it I remember the best was that it only solidified our friendship.
Because
we've been through a lot of ups and downs in our life. And even with friendship, all true friendships are always tried by the fire, you know?
Absolutely.
And you know, we went through some times, and I even did some things in my life that I thoroughly regret doing. And I'll never forget, out of all the people that hated me or disliked what I did or said or whatever, Dallas was one of the only guys, the only guy I remember, and probably one of my greatest friends because of this moment. But he says, Mark, I ain't going to judge you, man. You have reasons for doing what you did or whatever. But he never judged me. And I actually went back and apologized to Dallas for something that I did. And, you know, that's how you really solidify. You know, when you make a mistake, you own up to it. And I made some mistakes in my life. And I think it's made me a better person today. And it's helped me being, you know, the happiest person on this planet. Because I realize when I do something wrong, and I never want to hurt someone, especially someone who has backed me and been in my corner my whole life like Dallas has.
Well, you know, mistakes are never bad things if you learn from them. And, you know, that's
right. Absolutely.
I just put up a on Team YRG, and if you're listening and you don't know what Team YRG is, just go to DiamondDallasPage.com. It's all up there. You can join Team YRG and never even be a part of get the YRG fitness system. You can just join Team YRG to learn about nutrition, to be inspired, to be you know, it's just the greatest support group ever, and it costs nothing. So, to where was I going, Mr. ADD boy?
Hey, Dale. I got something that I want to ask you because, you know, I know people, I don't know if anybody even knows this, that you are sending me my first YRG system.
That's absolutely right.
And you know what, I got to tell you, I'm really excited about this because I'm at a place, I'm 50 years old now, and I have gotten by on genetics as far as I've always been in really good shape, but I am starting to feel, because of a lot of the ballistic movements I do in a workout,
yeah.
I'm starting to feel my joints are really starting to bother me. And, you know, it's really concerning me. So Dallas is actually sending me something. But, you know, Dallas, the thing I wanted to also talk to you about was we just started with the Champion Choices program, which is exploding in schools all over the country.
Oh, yes, I want to talk about that. Absolutely.
We just started the Family Obesity Initiative. And we are going to start working. We are documenting our first family. It's a whole family. It's the Mercer family. David Mercer and his wife and two children are you know, overweight. He's about 5'11", 275 pounds, or 5'9", 275. He's just a big guy. But we are documenting them through workouts. We have a boot camp. We have all kinds of things. But when I get your YRG fitness system, I am going to – I told you, you said, Mark, I'm not sending it to you unless you really give it a shot. And Dallas, I would never lie to you. I am going to give it a shot, man. I'm really looking forward to it. Because remember, I trained with you in the YRG system when, you know, a couple of years back, and I remember doing that, going, this is the most incredible workout. I'm stretching. I'm watching my heart rate double, triple, and I'm always stretching. No ballistic movements, which is really safe on your body.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's very great. Mark and Henry, I want you to, because I'll just keep talking. Henry, if you got something, pop it in, okay? Tell people what Champion of Choice it is.
Well, Chamber Choices is a program I started actually 3 years ago. We're in our fourth year now, and we travel to schools all over the country. We've even been as far as Russia, and we speak to schools about making the right choices of life, about setting goals, taking action towards goals, surrounding yourself with positive people, of course, staying away from drugs, and it really is. It's empowering students to make the right choice in life. And it's just really exploded because kids see my passion when I get up there, and these kids want to change their life. And we receive over 100 emails every single week from students who are changing their life. And it's please visit our website, which is championofchoices.org.
Mark, tell them the story about the girl. I don't want to give it away. That was going to take her life. Tell that story.
Well, you know, people really resonate with my story because I come from a broken family, like many people do. I grew up in a rough part of Buffalo, New York. In fact, Henry probably knows the west side of Buffalo. You know, Pennsylvania Avenue is you know, where the projects are over Pennsylvania. But it's a real rough section, especially back in these days, because there was a lot of the race riots going on. But, you know, I spoke at a school in Orlando, Florida, and a girl wrote to me. She sent me an email, and she said, "Mark, the day you came to my school was the day I planned on taking my life. I had it all planned out. I didn't even know I was going into assembly that day. And when I heard your story, I want to live. Because if you can make it, I can make it." And she's become my friend on Facebook, and she's the most positive person now, and she's doing great. And I contacted the principal and the SAFE coordinator. We got her in counseling, and she's doing phenomenal. But it's just one life of many that we can touch in our life. We all have this ability to do this. Dallas, myself, you, Henry, anybody has the ability to make a difference in someone's life. We all have an impact on each other. Whether it's negative or positive, we make an impact.
Absolutely, man. And I've seen your talk, and it's so entertaining on top of it. It makes you laugh. I mean, he's actually putting on a show up there, and really, you know, and like me, and I don't know many people who are like us who are talk, you know, do inspirational speaking, really believe the shit we're saying. You know, because we live it and we walk the talk. You have to. And you put on a show. Tell them what you do when you're giving your talk, cuz it's really amazing.
Well, you know, one of the things I have my book from when I was 10 years old about setting goals when I was a little kid. I wrote down in my book, I want a big black Cadillac. I wanted a speedboat. I want to be a professional athlete. I want to win Rookie of the Year. I want to be a millionaire. And one of the things I wrote down when I was a little kid, because I was always so embarrassed, is I wrote down, I wished I knew how to dance. See, I'm overly Caucasian. I always wanted to learn. I always wanted to know how to dance because I'm overly Caucasian. You know.
wait. But at one time, you had such a great tan, everybody thought you were black.
Right? You know, absolutely. I mean, I was on Black Entertainment. I was on Black. You know, when I first became Johnny B. Bad, I go and visit with Michael Jackson, and I'm on Black Entertainment Tonight, and I'm on with James Brown and Fred Hickman, and James Brown says, "Johnny, you got a chance of becoming the first black heavyweight champion." I said, "Jimmy, whatever you say." You know, here I am. You know, I'm a Jew from New York, and I'm playing a black guy from Macon, Georgia. You know, but it's just a real funny story. But you know, Dallas, our lives have really taken off, not from what we accomplished in our life, but the more we give, the more we get back in our own lives, and it's absolutely incredible how happy your life can be, because happiness is a choice. People, if you say to yourself, "Well, my wife or my friend or this one makes me miserable," no, that's your choice to be miserable. I choose to be happy every day. I choose being positive, and that's really why my life has been so amazing, and why I continue to have great days every single day.
You're right, and that's absolutely true. You know, I always say, in living life at 90%, which Henry, you know, can attest to this because we talked about it. Henry, short version, give me, where were you when we first talked to each other?
Oh, gosh, probably the lowest part of my life. Like, I know Mark in his presentation talked about, you know, he got pretty low himself and went into the shower and was contemplating something, and you know, I was almost to that point, and, you know, I stumbled upon your website and got involved in YRG. It started with that. Then it went on to the nutrition. Then it went on to life at 90%. And as all these things progressed, my life, you know, kept improving. And then I have to say that, you know, Mark came along and he kept adding to it with his, you know, inspirational thoughts of the day, his you know, the little videos, the tributes to his mom or his wife, and, you know, helped me get back in touch with my faith, too, I have to say. So it's like I was a puzzle. It had fallen, and the pieces all came out, and DDP helped put back some of those pieces, and Mark put back some pieces, and, you know, that's why I wanted to be on the show tonight, because you guys are two of the most inspirational people who have helped me. So thank you.
Oh, Henry, I got to say, you inspire me, brother. That's wonderful. You know, we all inspire each other, and Dallas has been a big inspiration to me. I mean, I remember when he first wrote his book, Positively Paged. I mean, it's the first time I heard anybody say positive things like he did, you know. I read his book, and I was just, like, so amazed. Here's a guy that couldn't even read and then writes a book. And he's inspired me because I have my first book coming out in December, and it's called How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. It's a really fun book that I wrote, and it's going to be out real soon. But Dallas was the first guy. I think you were the first wrestler to write a book, weren't you, Dallas?
Well, actually, Arn Anderson was, but he wrote it in a way where it was still not smartening up the fans because that was still the time. And
I remember his book. I mean, his book came out before yours did?
Yeah, it actually did, and it was a paperback, and it was basically – it told basically wrestling stories and still stopped smartening the people up. When I did mine, I figured, you know what? They all know. And I brought everybody in from – you know, and let them tell their story, you know, of how they saw it. Because there's my version, there's your version, then it's what really happened. So I had Smokey be the biographer. I was not a biographer, and then, as you know, different people in my life who came into it became part of it. And that it all came off of Cactus Jack, who we were just talking about earlier, about him starting YRG and me actually being his inspirational mentor, fitness guru, to get back in shape, because his body's so beat up, as we all know. If you watch wrestling, you know that Mick Foley, no one's bumped harder than he has, times 10. And, the bottom line is that, Every time I go off on my ADDism, I forget where I am. Oh yeah, back to the book. We interviewed him for the book. Smokey did, and he told the famous cookie story. So he gets on a plane. He grabs three those ledger pads, and he's thinking, Diamond Dallas Page is writing his own book. If he can do it, why can't I? And Jack and I, he actually said, because back in the day when me and him rode on the roads a lot together, by the way, he will be a guest at some point on the show, he actually went into a store one time and came out with three Jim Croce, they weren't even cassettes. And I go, Jim Croce? I grew up with Jim Croce. I go, you're 9 years younger than me. He knew every single word to every song. We were singing Jim Croce up and down the highways. But over that period, I realized that Mick Foley was a very, very, very smart cat. He just wasn't, the Manson-looking, guy who took the crazy bumps. He was a very smart individual. And I used to say to him, Mick, you need to start preparing. The crazy bumps that you take, you need to start preparing for the next part of your life. And he goes, yeah, but what am I going to do? I only know wrestling. I go, bullshit, dude. You are one of the most smartest guys I know in the business. You just got to apply it. So he said he heard me saying that to him. He got on the damn plane, and he wrote that entire book on ledger paper. His first two books he wrote on ledger paper.
Wow.
So just shows you, if I can do it, why can't you? Right?
Yeah, crazy. Exactly.
So listen, exactly. we're going to take some callers. Anybody wants to pop in here? What's the number, Robert, for people? Hello, Robert?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, yeah. So the number is 347-994-1216.
Try one more time. Say it again. Yeah, say it again, because a lot of people are listening, but they're not in the chat room. So say it one more time.
It's 347-994-1216.
If you want to call in, you want to talk to me, you want to talk to Mark, you want to talk to Henry, you want to just get involved in our little round table here, we'd love to have you come in and add something, ask more questions to Mark. Henry, you got any questions for Mark?
Actually, I kind of do. I did hear that he had to have a little heart valve repair done, so I was kind of wondering how his workouts and nutrition and lifestyle kind of changed because of that, or, you know, if he's more...
You know, Henry, I'm glad you asked that, because I've been seeing a lot of stuff about that. I've never had a heart job. Here's the deal. I read stuff on the internet and stuff, and I'll tell you, the funniest one I read all the time is people like that feel like they're real smart always call me Mark Merowitz. Have you seen that one, Dallas?
No.
Now, my great-great-grandfather, when he came over from Russia, changed the name from Merowitz to Merrow, but my great-grandfather was still Merrow. I mean, I was born Merrow, but people always like to call me Merrow.
Right.
As far as the heart valve thing goes, I do have a bad heart valve. That is true, and it's something that probably needs to be addressed sometime later on in my life. But right now, I have not changed my workouts. I still work out like a madman. But I am really aware of the trauma I'm putting on my body. And even though we do boot camps at my facility, and our boot camps are completely full. They're amazing. I'm going to, do the boot camps, but eventually I'm just going to be coaching there and not going through the motions, because I am going to try the YRG fitness system, and I'm really looking forward to it, strengthening my joints, because I realize my core needs a lot of work as far as because of my lower back problem, which, Dallas, you know about my lower back problem.
One
of the worst backs around.
Yeah, you know, you can't fake gravity. I had an interesting, email that come up, because, if you go to DiamondDallasPage.com, you can leave messages for me there. And Robert sent me one, and I won't go into the whole thing, but basically, if you want to read it, is it up there and my answers posted up there, Robert?
Yeah, Robert.
Are they? Hello, Robert?
Hello, Robert.
Oh, he must be screening a call or something. Either way, the questions of when people put them up there, they get sent to me.
If they
actually need to be answered. If they're just like a statement, then I don't really answer those. But because there's no need for that, because I have a billion things between Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, my own emails. You know what I'm talking about, Mark. It's like overwhelming. Yeah. But this guy talked about how he did Ashtanga yoga for 14 years, and how he decided to go over and start using kettlebells, and it caused significant shoulder and hip problems for him, and really torqued his whole body. And so he came across the book, the YRG book that Yoga Doc and I wrote, and he started to really feel like a lot better, and he started to adapt the workouts into working with Ashtanga, and which is really cool to me to read, because this guy was obviously a strong yogi at one point. He was doing it like YRG 4 days a week and doing Ashtanga 2 to 3 days a week. And he said that he has felt that his body has come back completely different, as far as building stronger, quicker, feeling younger. And I love when I get emails like that from people. And, of course, I answered him back. And he asked me quite a few questions about how to activate fast-twitch muscles, et cetera. So if you want to read it, just go to DiamondDallasPage.com. It's on the front page. Rob,
let me ask a question. Does training like that, I mean, if he's doing the YRG system three times a week?
Four times a week.
Okay, and then he's doing his other yoga too. Wasn't he doing his other thing too?
Yep.
Isn't that kind of overtraining though?
No, not for this type of training. You literally can do it at, like, Arthur. I'll give you an example of this. Because Arthur just didn't get YRG certified when he finally, was able to, could start to walk the talk and wanted to spread the word. The first thing he got was YRG certified, but he's a guy who went into service at 17 years old and over that period learned 5 different languages while he was in the military. You got to be really smart to learn 5 different languages. And he's a guy who wants to know everything about what he's doing. So he ended up taking a yoga certification for 200 hours. And then he did 500 hours, and he even did 3 days.
This guy,
he will, like four Probably three different
older classes. Older classes.
Before he gets to me.
Before he gets to me.
He, and I'm talking about hour and a half, like power workouts. So it's one of those things. I mean, and I've never, I mean, he's got better endurance than I do. He's got, I mean, he could do stuff now that I can't, so a lot of
am I on the phone with DDP or is this an imposter? What? I've never heard you say you can't.
Yeah. Okay. Let me put that there. Yeah. Because today I was actually working out with my buddy Matt Bouchel. And when you're in catcher, I'm trying to get my forearms to the mat. Because, I just came off that knee surgery, 10 weeks ago. So,
can I tell our story about our 10-second push-up contest against each other?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a classic, okay? Dallas was at the gym I was at the time working at. And Dallas was – nobody could keep up with Dallas in the 10-second push-up. Really, nobody could hang with you. You were like the best I've ever seen. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to beat this guy. And Dallas and I went – Now remember, our noses are almost touching each other. We are like just right in front of each other, and we're doing 10-second push-ups. And I don't remember how many we got, but we were exact, and we were struggling, and we were not. Neither of us would give up. And Dale says to me, he goes, you cool, man? You want to call it a draw? And I said, yeah, that's a good idea, right? So we call it a draw, and I got, wait a minute, I can beat this guy. I go, no, let's get back down. We get back down, we start over again. Well, we're both just totally fried. And all of a sudden, he outlasted me, and I was like, oh, why did I just stop when I had it even, man? It's just incredible, man. It's just fun to have a guy that really challenges you like that.
Well, it's funny, man, you say that, because we actually did 8. And the only time that I've ever done, and I'm not talking about 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm talking about 1, 2, 3, or 10, 9. It was like there was pauses. It was a serious 8. And then when you and I knew I was spent. You were spent. And I figured, I wanted to pull you into YRG. I didn't want to discourage you. And I wanted to pull you in. And you were like, no, let's do it again. I'm like, okay, because I had a little bit left of the gas. And you know what it was? It was ego. It was the red light had turned on. Because when I said whenever we say the red light, we mean the cameras are on. And there's right. things that I can do. I was just in St. Louis. This is a great, great story. I do the fold over completely. I put my head down on my knees. I put the foot over the host head while I'm talking to him. And then I go, well, you know what? There's a whole nother level of core strength. And I put my knees on my elbows in Black Crow and stood up into a handstand. And when I get up into that, my right elbow gives out just a little, and Mark, my face goes smashing into this hard mat that I'm doing this on, and I caught myself and pushed myself back up only because there was a camera on me. And you can go to DiamondDallasPage.com. That's up there on the DDP TV, the St. Louis one. And I pushed myself up. Now when I get up, I didn't know if it was blood or sweat is coming off my brow. I'm thinking, did I just gig myself on TV here hard way into the floor? And they love the segment so much. I was getting ready to leave, and they run back and go, DDP, can you stick around for one more segment? I'm like, absolutely. I'll stay here all day if you'll let me. Yeah, it was great. It was classic, though. Classic moment. So, Robert, are you on with us again? Hello, Robert? Okay, he's still talking to people.
Hey, DDP, I got to also tell you that the Arthur Borman video, I showed it to my staff, because we're getting ready for this, Family Obesity Initiative, and we showed it to all of them. And he has inspired, I don't even know, there's, I don't know, 100,000 or a couple hundred thousand people have seen that video now. But when I showed it to my director of operations, she has lost 175 pounds herself. She
is
in an obese situation. She's amazing. She leads our boot camps. That's how she's an amazing person.
Wow.
But she watched it, and she so could relate to Arthur that she was in tears, man. It was a really touching moment when I showed it to her, and she got the URL to that, and she shows everybody that video.
That's sweet.
continues to inspire tens and thousands of people, man.
Yeah, without question, you know, and I always say God sent Arthur to me and me to Arthur.
Yeah,
it was a two-way street here. Robert.
I'm
hello.
Here.
Okay, do we have, I see we got some callers on here. Do we have some people want to come on?
Actually, yeah, we've got, let me see, we've got Dan here. Let me pull Dan up.
Pull Dan up.
There we go. Are you with us, Dan?
I'm right here. How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. Good, man. You got some questions? Hey, Danny, are you on a speakerphone? Hello? Do we lose him? Do we lose him, Robert?
He's still connected. Either he hasn't dropped off yet or he's just having some big problems.
All right, pull off and we'll talk to him. Pull him off. Hey, Danny, when you call back, make sure you're not on a speakerphone. If you're on a landline, that works best because then it just sends us into land. I see there's another one, 770. Is that someone just listening or do they want to come on?
That's actually a Terry just listening, but we also have Doug on hold too.
Well, pull Doug on. Pull Doug on. Dougie boy. Doug, I'll tell you a little bit about him coming on here, Mark. Doug is our monster motivator. That's what I've dubbed him. A name like you would have given one of your boys here. I met Doug on the way to Afghanistan and was laying over in Qatar, which is like the R&R area for the troops when they're wherever they're coming from, Afghanistan or from Iraq. And it's the only place they can actually get a beer. And I was on my way to the gym. And he came up to me, and he was big. He was over 300 pounds, and, you know, and 5'11", and 6 foot, and just all in his belly. And he said, DDP, I really want to try this workout. Do you think I can do it? I said, you know what? 9 times out of 10, I'm going to say absolutely anybody can do this workout. But the workout I'm about to put these guys through, since they're all warriors, and that's all they do is work out, I'm about to kick some ass here. I said, so if you modify, and I'll tell you, and you check your ego before you walk in this gym, I think you'll be fine. This guy's going on to lose 100 pounds in 10 months, and now he's on the part where he's cutting up, and he's taking it to another level with his eating and training, and he's actually coming out here to visit me for a couple days before he heads out to Germany to do his next job. Doug, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir.
All right. You got something for Mark here?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for not calling me the cheerleader today. you know how much crap I got over from the guys on the side about that?
Tremendous.
Especially Robert and Sparky. Thanks, guys. But, no, I just want to say for Mark, man, let me tell you something. Henry actually got me onto your link, and I emailed you a few times on Facebook, and it was amazing. Your story is an amazing story, and that and Dallas is Living Life at 90% are just some phenomenal stuff. You brought me to tears when I heard your story because it hit home with me on a few different points, too.
I appreciate it. It brings you to tears because you got a beautiful heart, man. You know, it really is. It's people that really can appreciate and respect life and how quickly it passes. I mean, Dallas and I have both been in the ring with over 30 people that are no longer here, and it's so sad to know how quickly it can be taken away from us.
You got anything else, Doug?
I was just listening.
not like him not to have something else to say or go on and go on and go on.
I would
like to go with the name Monster Motivator better than the cheerleader, though, okay? So I'll also call you Monster Motivator, okay?
I appreciate that. I was going to call in and mess with you and say, no, I'm not talking to you guys. I just wanted to call and talk to Henry.
Hey, Henry's from my hometown, man. That's awesome. Henry, you still live in Buffalo, right?
Absolutely, yep.
Oh, cool. And what part of Buffalo do you live in?
Where all the Polish people do, Cheektowaga.
Cheektowaga, okay, sure. Yeah.
Well, I've been looking forward to getting up there and actually seeing Henry, but I haven't had, you know, the call to go to Buffalo. Eventually it'll come, though, because I have too many friends up there, so eventually I'm sure we're going to hook up. And just to remind everybody again who might have came in late, Chicago, October 16th, I will actually be there doing an autograph signing with Goldberg, and we had so many people come up to me in Chicago that are actually doing YRG that I knew and didn't know was that we're going to set up a workout, a free workout for all the people who want to come over and do it and want to try it. And, you know, it should be pretty interesting because you've got a lot of people who are doing YRG in Chicago. So throwing that out there again. So,
I'd like to get something real quick.
Absolutely.
Just real hearing Doug, I just wanted to say, you know, the great part about him calling in is not only did he lose 100 pounds, but he's become a good friend of mine. And it reminds me of a couple of things that Mark said in his presentation. You know, like friends are like elevators. They bring you up or they bring you down. And all three of you guys have brought me up. And another thing I know that Mark said is show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And because of you guys, I feel like I'm excited about the future for, like, the first time in maybe forever, you know. So, you know, thanks for all that.
Yeah, Henry, that's awesome, man. You know, that is true. It's, we become who we surround ourselves with. And if you surround yourself with positive people, you're going to get nothing but positive results because you all lift up each other, you know.
Hey, one of the people I want to introduce you to, Mark, and she's on the line, but she's not talking. She's just listening, but her name's Terry Lang. And she's actually the first person that I worked with that I didn't really work with. I mean, all I did was talk, and she did. And she's like, I call her the godmother of YRG. She just had her 59th birthday recently, and she just looks amazing. I love doing
it. Didn't I see a picture of her on your site?
Yep.
Hi, Mark.
Yes, hello. Yes, you are beautiful, and you have done. How long have you been doing YRG? Because you just look phenomenal.
Since ever since he created it. But I lost my weight at 49 and a half. I wanted to be 50 and fit, and I just keep staying as fit as I can be. And so that's my biggest goal is I'm going to be a grandmother in December. So I want to be the fittest grandmother. And then I'm going to be 60. And if you're going to be 60, I might as well be.
That is awesome. See, I got to get to where you're at. Okay. I just turned 50 and I just hope and pray. And I believe I'm going to do the best I can do, but, you look phenomenal. I remember seeing the pictures on the site and, God bless you. Just keep it up. Be an inspiration to so many people. Hey, grandmothers can look just as good as their kids, as their grandkids.
hey, bro, the only reason that I'm gluten-free is because of Terry. And it's because she's a celiac. She can't have wheat or dairy. And when she started talking to her nutritionist, who's now mine as well, her name is Bernadette. She's 61. This is my little short on her. She's 61. She looks like she's in her late 40s. She acts like she's in her late 20s. She is a pistol. She used to be a size 26. She learned about nutrition for herself. And, you know, continue to spread the word. And she's one of those chicks to get an appointment with her, and she does everything through blood work. It'll take you, like, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, and that's if you're my friend. Sometimes she'll get you in 4 weeks, but normally it's, like, 8 to 12 weeks just to get in to see her because she's that busy. And she does it all with blood work, and she told Terry that her body would start to come back when she got the wheat and dairy out of her, and I'm talking about her skin, her stomach, her cellulite, her arms. And when I saw Terry after like the 16-month mark, because I was like, bullshit, there's no way. You know what, though? I'm going to be right here to watch and see what happens, and I'll be damned.
So what if you're not allergic to gluten? Now, and this is where I want to be. I've got to educate myself on this because I know we talked about it a little bit, and I'm not totally I don't know all the ins and outs about it, but I was talking to someone, and I said, yeah, my friend Dallas is, you know, he's gluten-free. And she says, well, it's only bad if you're allergic to it. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Well, for starters, I don't have an allergy. And
okay.
My joints feel like I did before I started wrestling, which was still sore. You know, I was still a madman, but I feel like I did before I started wrestling. And Terry, I want to give the ball over to her because no one knows more about it than she does. Terry, you want to answer that? Terry? Okay, guess not. For me, the people who, you know, I turn on to and that don't have, like, personally, me or Angela, neither one of us need to be gluten-free as far as weight issues are concerned. but as far as health issues are concerned. And what I've learned, and just Google it, man, everything I'm about to say to you is just like you can find it all on the internet. Weed has been so genetically engineered, I mean, to such a degree that forget about it when we were kids. You know, we got weed in Wheaties. We got it in bread and pasta, and that was pretty much it. And then processed food came along. It was in the beginning stages back then. And then came this thing, gluten. And you can't find a processed food, pretty much, that doesn't have, you know, as of 3 years ago. Today you can find them because gluten-free is everywhere, and it's just going to get broader and broader. But you can't find a processed item that doesn't have flour, wheat, or gluten in it. So it goes down to this wheat and gluten, it's been so genetically engineered that it doesn't resemble, forget when we were kids, it doesn't resemble the same wheat that was 2 years ago. Corn syrup is the same way. Corn syrup and soy, again, so genetically engineered, man, that it's not like eating an edamame for a soybean. It's, you know,
it's just putting a lot of chemicals in your body. Isn't it adding a lot more chemicals?
And that's that. The chemical that preserves wheat is called carcinogen, which is formaldehyde. And people who have real wheat issues, like if you see someone who's just fat around the stomach, they gotta. I don't have to send them to Bernadette. I don't need a blood test. I can tell they're just fat around the stomach. And they're 250 pounds, 270 pounds, and their arms are skinny, and their legs are skinny, and they have this big fat belly. Guess what? That's not a beer belly. That's a wheat belly. And that's where it sits and it grows. It's yeast. And it's harmful for the body. It attacks your joints and will wear you down. So I wasn't doing it but here's the positive side. Angie's, she's making me some, what are you making me again, Angie? Yeah, red extra bananas. She's making banana cupcakes. Banana gluten-free. She makes it with tapioca, rice flour, teff. She uses all these different flours that she combines with. And now you can find. Now, remember, let me ask you this question. 3 years ago, did you ever hear of gluten-free? Did you even know
No.
it existed? Right.
No.
I wrote this program guide you're going to get in the mail this week. You'll see wheat and dairy free is phase two and phase three. Wheat and dairy free, and that's combining your fruit and I should say your carbs and proteins. I wrote that 3 years ago, and there was no such thing. It was out there, but you had to really go and search and find it. And back then, when I was going through that, and I wasn't even doing it. I wasn't even living that. I wasn't walking that talk because I didn't really feel I need to. But then I went to get out of the bed, and I know you know this feeling, to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and your body starts to spasm on you, and you push yourself back in bed. And when that happened to me, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try this no wheat and dairy thing. And actually, it was no wheat at the beginning. And I went to see Terry, and that's when I saw it was about that 16th, 17th month mark that she'd been off completely off wheat and dairy. And I was like, look at my – I go, you look great. She goes, look at my arms. Now, we got pictures of her arms and measurements. And her arms, which, you know, when a woman's heavy and she gets those big arms, they never go down. The rest of her body might, but her arms are never going to go down unless you take out wheat and dairy like she did. And I'll be damned if her arms like an inch and a half smaller than they were. She goes, look at the cellulite on my legs. Look at my belly. I was like, oh, my God. So I said, I'm going to get me that appointment with Bernadette. I want to go see her. And that's what I did. I gave her my blood, and I brought it back to Angie, and Angie's a thoroughbred. Angie could eat plastic if she wants to. I mean, that's just the way she is. She can eat, and she can eat nothing and still look like a friggin', you know, an Amazon warrior. But she is like, she plays with a bunch of different things. Like these next 2 weeks, she's doing just all raw, just wants to try it. You know, and she'll still make, like, these cupcakes and mark the best apple pie ever. I've never had anyone like it. She's making this chicken pot pie for me tonight, and it just doesn't – if I'm to have, like, a half of a pie that's a regular wheat pie, I feel like there's a lead balloon in my stomach. When I have hers, I can eat the whole pie. Now, I don't. But I could, and still not be loaded down. So, and there's so many things. Let me tell some of the guys out there, too, because I'm always coming up with new sweets for people to find to reward themselves. Not the, you know, everything's in moderation. As far as a dairy-free, gluten-free, it is the new So Delicious ice cream sandwich. And it is so delicious, and it's 100 calories, and it's all, I mean, anything, you know, anything done in moderation, this is good for you, you know, good for you treat. So if you want to treat yourself, if you've had a hell of a week or a hell of a month and you hit that goal and you just want to try it, try those So Delicious. It's all, they also have the So Delicious, only at Whole Foods, I don't know where you can get it, but the So Delicious yogurt, which is coconut yogurt, which tastes so much better than regular yogurt. And don't get the vanilla unless you like it really sweet. Just get the plain because that's sweet enough. This morning I had some coconut yogurt, and I threw in some blueberries, some strawberries, and I put in a little bit of gluten-free granola, which you can get at Trader Joe's for like $3.49 a bag. And if you just sprinkle it around when you use it, it lasts forever. Well, it lasts for a couple weeks anyway. So, you know, another thing I want to mention, too, about this egg craze, this whole salmonella thing, is one of my buddies got it twice. He got salmonella twice, and I'm a big egg person. You know that, Mark. You know, we eat a lot of eggs. But, it, you know, when most people don't eat the amount of eggs that we eat, you know, I eat 8 every day because I want that protein and I want that fire in me. I also have one or two rice. They're actually wheat-free, gluten-free Vans blueberry waffles because I'm trying to keep my size. I'm not trying to get lean. You know, I'm trying to hold on to the muscle mass that I have, which I'm right at 232 right now. And, you know, I have every day. But most people eat, the most they'll eat is 3 or 4 eggs. So if you eat 3 eggs a day when you have a meal, that's 4 separate meals. Go out and buy the organic omega-3 eggs at Whole Foods. They can't have salmonella in it. You know, so, and if that has salmonella, we're all screwed. You know, so that's a big part of the eating part, and, you know, and as far as what wheat does and what dairy does, and I wish Terry was still on the line. Is she off the line, Robert?
Hey, she got disconnected, Dallas. She said she was going to try to reach you back in.
Okay, if she gets back in, put her on, because Mark, she really is. She's a nurse.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are, babe.
Yay.
I tried to get back on.
Hey, Nazi Bear. So Mark, ask Terry what you were asking when she got bumped off.
Well, Terry, you know, when I was talking to some people that talked to me about nutrition too, I was telling them about Dallas being gluten-free,
right.
And they said, well, it's only bad if you're allergic to gluten. And she said, you know, well, are you allergic to gluten? And I said, I don't think so. I don't know, you know, but you know, I'm one of those guys that I love trying everything. I mean, I mean different things, and I'm always looking for that, you know, that proverbial fountain of youth of things that we could hold back the time with, you know.
Right.
And I'm willing to try this because I'm starting a really strict program on the 13th of September. And it's a 90-day challenge that I'm having at my fitness club. We have a lot of people that are obese that are in this, and I also want to be an example to them. So I want to bring come in blazing with everything, every knowledge I can to help everybody, because we got a great, great team here right now. And if there's something that I can learn about being gluten-free, if it could help me, it could certainly help a lot of the people that are struggling with that have to lose anywhere from 50 to 100 pounds that are in my camp.
This is what I can say about it, because you use a lot of different terms with gluten, but you can be allergic to it, which doesn't really have anything to do with food reaction. And as far as body weight and sickness, it has to do with the histamine release. So really we aren't very concerned about people who are allergic to wheat. What you hear about is the intolerant or the celiac. And you can be intolerant, meaning you don't take it well in your system. You get gassy, bloated, maybe you have some trouble, and you can actually get fairly sick, but you're not a celiac. A celiac is worst-case scenario because it damages the villi in your intestine, which absorbs all your vitamins and minerals. So when you are undiagnosed like I was getting all kinds of other illnesses, diseases, which I have to have been trying to fix along with not eating gluten. But what I noticed is I had already lost the weight and been 5 years at a good weight. When I stopped eating gluten, my waist is the one tiny thing I have got even smaller. I just lost some of the dimply, a lot of the cellulite and dimply fat often is that gluten because it's pocketing it. Your liver and your kidneys struggle to digest wheat and gluten. It's just been genetically modified several times, so our DNA doesn't process it as well. And it, when your liver can't store anything, it goes to, it's toxic and it sends it out like in cellulite in that. And just like blood sugar and wheat, it goes to your belly, and that's the worst kind of fat because that's strangling your organs inside where your, you know, where your belly contains all these vital organs. So I've noticed as other people have joined me in not eating wheat and gluten, and they can chime in on that, just like Paige, he slimmed down even more. It just changes your shape because it's getting rid of, you're not putting in those toxins, the chemicals that go in the gluten. And all this processed food that contains the gluten, the reason gluten was invented to be used was to give food shelf life. Well, if it's sitting on your shelf for years, months, that's what it's doing in your liver. So you store up all this that turns to fat. So Terry,
tell them about the inflammation, because that's one thing you
right.
Concerned on both sides. Gluten
oh, that was huge. There's two reasons why I don't eat gluten and dairy. Dairy thickens the mucus and causes me to have more asthma, sinus problems. I stopped the dairy, gosh, it's been how many years now? Since 07. And I haven't had one sinus infection that I got two or three times a year minimum. And my asthma is controlled, and I am still on two asthma drugs, but I started with four. I had been so sick after my diagnosis. So I've really done well. But the thing that it causes the most is these foods, including soy, as I've been studying, because it's been genetically modified, and we're eating too much of it, and it also affects the body's hormones, but that's another story. But they cause inflammation in the body. Inflammation triggers everything, disease, aging, and by eating healthy raw foods and not processed foods, eliminating the gluten and other inflammatory foods like sugar, that's an inflammatory food. If it causes inflammation in your body has to fight that off. And therefore, your skin, I lost all the elasticity in my skin, and that's been a struggle to regain at my age, no matter what I'm doing. But I want to slow down the aging process, and by eliminating as much inflammation in my body, I can hold my asthma at bay. I have somewhat reversed some aging, I would say. You would know best, Dallas, looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, and it keeps my asthma quiet. So if you can stop the inflammation in your body, then you can slow down diseases and illnesses that come at you, and your skin will not be as loose. You'll have some elasticity. It's so many good things. So I was.
I got to tell you, I'm going to. A week from Monday is when I start my program, and I'm going to take dairy and gluten out of my diet. Okay, and I'm going to try
this. Let me know how it feels. And I do say, like, everybody should stop it and see how you feel. That's the test. If you feel better not eating it, don't eat it. Or at least cut it back into down to smaller amounts. Because sometimes you can just make a better choice. You may not give up everything, but you can choose better substitutions.
Dallas can attest. I'm a pretty extreme guy. Like when I go, I'm all in. I'm all in.
I hear you.
I'm going to really give this a shot, and because I definitely can relate to what you're just saying. Just as you're speaking, some of the symptoms and things you're talking about, I have, and I would really like to try this.
Okay. And I will say, if other people are out there that have noticed they're getting autoimmune diseases, and that's what it is. I got several autoimmune diseases, but often people who are wheat intolerant, will have like bloating and gas. They will have asthma. They will have psoriasis, eczema, certain types, because those are all autoimmune diseases. And the celiac or the gluten intolerance comes first, but you don't recognize it, and your doctor doesn't either. They treated my asthma. They treated the eczema on my arms. They treated all these symptoms, which they thought were individual diseases. When it took the nutritionist, I walked in her door and said, "My Lord, you're a celiac. Stop the wheat today." I had a rash on my elbows. I thought it was just because of massaging hairy men and whatever. Hair up my elbows. So you wrestlers were always good because you were hairless normally. But but anyway, everybody just gave me ointments. I stopped that wheat, and less than a week later, it was 3-4 days, my eczema was gone on my elbows. Gone. Period. And only when gluten sneaks back in, that's my first immediate sign, is I get my rash back immediately.
Well, I really appreciate it, Terry, and I'm going to keep Dallas up to speed on this.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, no, I got a lot of cool things happening. I'm going to try the YRG system, and I'm going to go gluten and dairy free. And I'm going, you know, I like to set goals, and my goal is I start on September 13th is when I start this big change. So I want to learn about it before then, of what I can, because it seems like wheat's in everything, you know?
I will say about dairy, just a little hint, like I on occasion, that's where I will cheat. But I try to eat pure, like it's butter, because butter and cream, if I'm going to use something, you can use that because it rises to the top. If you remember way back in the day, not quite my day when I was churning butter, not really, but it rises to the top. So the casein, because what you're really inflamed about is the milk protein or the casein. So the cream and butter rises to the top, so they're like cleaner, safer. So occasionally, and whenever I eat good, I just eat pure good food. And so just keep that in mind if you have to have a little dairy or something,
to
choose. And I use a little sheep cheese or goat cheese if I want some cheese.
And whenever you're ready, we've got a couple callers ready to go, too.
Okay, cool.
Can I add one thing, Dallas? It's Doug.
Yeah.
I wanted to add, being from a heavy standpoint, Mark, because I know you're trying to help people that are overweight. When they cut the gluten out, I know, and especially being a lot of the Team YRG members and myself, the first 30 days I lost 26 pounds, and I wasn't working out like I should have been. I did like 3 or 4 workouts a week. So when they cut the gluten out, it really, like Dallas was talking about, the beer belly or whatever you want to call it really, really helps them drop, especially the first month, a lot of weight. And then they'll, you know, as long as they continue to do the workouts and stuff, they'll just continue to shrink down.
Right. So, well, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's something I really want to look into. I mean, Dallas has been talking to me about this for quite a while now, and it's one of those things I've been kind of putting on the back burner. But now that we have really are dealing with a lot of people that are very heavy, our boot camp classes our evening classes are completely full. I mean, we are going to have to do another class now just to fit all the people in it. So it is we got a lot of people that are depending on our help to help them lose this weight. So anything I can learn, I certainly want to pass on.
So who do we have out there? Who do we have out there, Robert? As far as I'm sorry.
Well, I could add something.
First up, let Henry add something first quickly, Henry, because we got.
Yes, it's very quick. Because Terry said something so very important. She mentioned the chronic inflammation. I just want to say, you know, when you go to your doctor, especially if you're a man, you should ask for a C-reactive protein level, which if it's high, is going to tell you that you have elevated systemic inflammation, which is, as Terry said, pretty devastating. And you could also ask for a cytokine panel, which would tell you if you have a problem along those lines. So just wanted to add that.
Oh, thank you, man.
So, Robert, who do we have there? We have some questions for Mark?
Yeah, well, actually, first off, we have David. Let me bring him in there.
David, how are you, buddy? David.
There we go.
Hello.
You got a question, bro? There. Yeah, we're here.
Hey, this is David.
Hey, this is David.
Mark is helping my family and I lose weight. We start boot camp on the 13th. I just wanted to call in.
Hey, Dale, my friend. This is David Mercer, and we are going to work with his whole family. David, I mentioned earlier, David, I think you're about, what, 75?
No, yeah, I'm 5'6" and 275 pounds.
Yeah, and David's got a, you know, he's got a journey ahead of himself. But you know something, he's got the most amazing team because just like you, Dallas, we're not going to quit at him, you know, and we're going to be there every step of the way. But we went over and cleaned out his cupboards the other day and did some, you know, get his family ready for this because we're documenting this whole thing on film and watching the video we saw at YRG was one of our inspirations. David, I think you saw that video, didn't you?
I did. It was amazing. To be honest, I sat there and I cried to see
Arthur.
To see him make that transformation and go from walking with sticks to running down the street was just absolutely incredible.
When you see a guy like that, dude, that doesn't say it in your heart that if this guy can do it and see how far he came from to where, you know, you're walk around fine right now, but you have an opportunity in your life to change it. And not only that, but be example to your kids, too, because they're following in yours and your wife's footsteps, and I know how much you love them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they were part of my motivation for contacting you in the first place. My oldest is going to be 18 in January. My youngest is just turned 6, and you know, I want to be around long enough to walk them down the aisle. I want to see them grow up. As you know, I just lost my mom in June to leukemia, and they're not exactly sure what caused it, but she was morbidly obese as well. So if we can make a life change, now's it, and Darlene's been amazing with helping us on our journey starting off, and we're just so geared up and ready to go to boot camp. This is going to be an amazing thing for a lot of people.
And Dale, just so you know, Dale is the lady I talked about that has dropped 175 pounds. That's the leading our boot camp.
I love that.
And, and isn't that funny? She's another Dale. Like my wife's name is Darlene too.
Yeah.
And we are so excited. There are so many people. That 6 o'clock class is completely filled. In fact, we're going to have to have another 6:30 class too, because this class is just so packed now. But it's gonna be a journey for all of us. We're gonna enjoy it. We're gonna encourage each other, and we're gonna build some great friendships out of this.
Very cool.
Hey, David, just so you know, if you quit on me, don't let me call my friend Diamond Dallas Page, okay? Okay, right?
Dude, there's no quitting at all. You know where I work.
No, I'm teasing you. And I know how serious you are about this.
Now, I just wanted to call in and let everybody know how amazing you stepped up and really taken this cause to another level. You know, not too many people actually realize what obesity is or how people actually suffer from it. And, you know, God's on our side. Darlene was in the right place at the right time, as well as you. And we're just thankful. I just wanted to call in and say thanks myself.
Very cool, man. Very cool.
Awesome, man.
Robert, we're finishing, running out of time. Do we have someone else out there, you said, Robert?
Yeah, we've got a couple more. We've got Dan on the line who called earlier. We had a
okay, Dan. Let's pop Dan in, see if we can get a good connection with him.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Perfect. You sound great.
Dan.
I won't use a cell phone again, I promise.
Go ahead. So.
This is actually pretty cool. I mean, besides listening, because I like both of you guys and watched it for years, and then I'm actually taking notes like it's a lecture. This is really good stuff.
Tremendous.
But it leads me to a question. You know, with nutrition, it's really confusing because you hear something's good, and then you hear it's bad. You know, dairy first is good, then it's fattening, so it's bad. White bread is horrible, so go eat wheat. Then wheat's bad because of this gluten thing. But soy milk is good, drink soy. Now soy causes inflammation. Like, when you guys live life and you go shopping and getting food, like, how do you do it so you're actually getting the healthy stuff and not the stuff that's not so good for you?
Well, I'll take that, Mark. You know, for me, it's how your body feels. Like, if Mark, I've seen him, he eats like a shark. I was always trying to, sometimes I would grab his hand to make him slow down what he's eating. And he may be a kind of guy, because he's such a warrior, that can eat plastic, you know, like Angela can. But I think that he's going to feel a difference in the wheat because of the inflammation, not because of the weight, not because of nutrition. I think because of the, because no matter what, gluten attacks your joints, and that's just what it is. So just so you know, everybody, you know, from Michael Jordan to Steve Austin got the milk thing on their lips saying milk is good for you. You are programmed to believe that milk is good for you. Now, if you really Google it and find out how your digestive system takes on milk, and it's not the milk that your great-grandparents went when they went out to the farm and they hit the cow and then they came in and drank the milk. It doesn't even resemble that. My other nutritionist is 80 years old, who can still run 20 miles on the beach and does so anywhere from 10 to 20 miles with my brother twice a week. He's a crazy warrior, and he doesn't call it milk. He calls it milk pus. Cow. No, he doesn't call it cow milk. He calls it cow pus. Because of all the, you know, pasteurization and all the shit that they do to it. So if you're going to drink regular milk, okay, but goat's milk's going to be better for you. Soy milk, when they first came out with it, yeah, but then again, they started genetically engineering it, and now soy doesn't really work for guys anyway, which I found later, because it cuts our testosterone. And as I get older, I want all the testosterone that I can have.
It doesn't help women in menopause either, because of the estrogen kick. It affects their estrogen levels, and breast cancer people and stuff they're watching soy on.
And Dan, that's Terry, and she's a nurse, too. So,
hey, Terry.
So to know that. And wheat, again, you know, white bread, like, oh, my God, look at what we were eating, you know, back 20, 30 years ago. I mean, everything was brutal. It was the beginning of the processed food generation. And it is, I'll say, mainlining, helping you to get cancer, making it a friendly place for cancer. I often say I'd rather you drink regular Coke than Diet Coke, and rather you snort Coke than drink Coke. You know, because it's like a mainline for. I've gotten buddies of mine off. One of my friends, who's an inspirational speaker, was drinking 18 Diet Cokes a day. Didn't do drugs, didn't drink. That was his drug of choice, and he finally got off it. Now, once you're off it for 6 months, you can't drink it. Unless you force yourself, because it dehydrates your body. It's horrible for your body. But milk and wheat, just, you know, for me, you know, if you can eat it, go for it. If you have a weight problem, maybe you want to try not eating it for 2 to 3 weeks, because in 2 to 3 weeks, you'll either feel different or you won't. Am I right, Terry?
Absolutely.
So you just try it. You know, it doesn't hurt. But I know no matter what cow is, what they do to the cow today, between watch Food Inc. Just watch Food Inc.
Exactly.
Forget watching 30, the McDonald's thing about 30 days, or forget about even the one that's called Fast Food Nation. Just watch Food Inc. and see what they do. I don't eat chicken or beef anymore unless it's a high-end restaurant that's got no hormones in their beef, and the chicken, if I got to eat something fast, that'll be my choice before McDonald's, because I'll never go and eat that shit again, because that's just, it's not even food. You know, it's literally not even food. If you go to Team YRG and go to our video section, there's a woman up there who has a burger, this is 2 years ago, that was 4 years old. She took off the McDonald's burger, she took the pickle off it. Today, if you saw that burger, you'd think it's one of the gimmick plastic ones, because it's hard like a rock, and the plastic, the cheese is melted onto the burger. It's brutal. So, you know, it's not even food. And the French fries look exactly the way they would 4 years later. So does that help you out, Dan?
That's scary.
Just throwing it out there, baby. There's a lot of great things too. If you have a Whole Foods next to you, they've got the market right now. And people are like, I was just in Kansas City. They're like, there's like a big movement they're doing to get another Whole Foods on the other side of Kansas City. I mean, it's amazing that when the Midwest starts walking and talking, saying we want health, the rest of the country is right there, because that is the country, the Midwest. And right now, it's the fattest place in the land. You know, St. Louis, I went there to do a whole deal with a health clinic that they did, because St. Louis that year was considered the fattest city in the world. And, you know, it's all the Midwest, and it's just, it's the choices that people have. And poor people tend to get, if you can get three things for $2 at Taco Bell, what can you get for a dollar today? Never mind $2. I mean, you're going to put three things in your mouth, into your body for your nutrition that cost $2? Man, go get an apple. Go get an apple. Go get two apples. You know, I mean, way better. There are better choices. So I gotta cut this down because we're about to run out of time. I am so happy. I'm sorry if we didn't get the other callers. You called in earlier. We'd have had you know. I want to thank everybody for coming by, especially Henry for being my co-host today, and the one and only marvelous Mark Merrill. I love you, baby. Thank you so much for coming here. Go to Champion
thank you
Choices.
Guys so much, man.
Give your plug. What's your thing? What's the Champion Choices? What is that again?
ChampionOfChoices.org.
Check it out. This guy is changing lives, people. I love everybody for coming on by today. Today was a really powerful day. I got to tell you, you've been wonderful. You've been marvelous, but see ya!
You love me! You hate me! You'll never forget me! Get ready to feel the